It's a Thursday, and it's football season. That means we're checking in with our good friend Big Ten Ted here on 1600 ESPN, Eastern Iowa's home for sports. We've got a big one here in the state of Iowa, Iowa versus Iowa State, Cy-Hawk Week. We've been talking about it all week long. We'll cover that, plus some other huge games in the Big Ten with Ted here in just a little bit. Ted, how's it going? Happy game week again.
Yeah, here we go yet again. Things are really kicking into gear. You know, some teams maybe had easier opponents in week number one. Some didn't. But the ones that did, maybe they got a little stiffer competition this week, which I'm sure we'll cover. So we're starting to learn. We're going to learn a little bit about more about some of these teams, maybe some of these Big Ten contenders here in week number two.
Yeah, let's quick rewind to week one. The conference going 17-1. Lonely Minnesota was the only loss. Unfortunately, that was the game you were at, Ted. I don't know if that's a good omen or bad omen for you. But 17-1, pretty impressive. Not the strongest slate of games. But hey, a good weekend for the Big Ten in week one.
You know, I'm kind of surprised I did not get a call from Tony Petitti and says, yeah, you got to stay home the rest of the year. but we'll see, yeah. But, you know, it's crazy that Minnesota game, you know, two missed field goals from the Big Ten kicker of the year is what swayed 17-1 from 18-0. But you really look back to week number one, Penn State and their domination against West Virginia. You know, you really started to see what an Andy Kotelnicki offense with Drew Aller started to look like. Drew's playing with a little bit more confidence. And, you know, that throw, I said, hey, keep throwing the football. West Virginia stacked the box against the run. When Penn State was able to throw the ball a little bit more, that opened up some running lanes, those big gains from Nick Singleton a little bit later on during that game. So if this Penn State team, and the defense is the defense, right? It's going to be good at Penn State. If this Penn State team plays with this confidence, you know, that you look at their schedule between now and October 12th when they got to travel on the road to USC, it's very favorable, right? And that's going to be a big-time weekend for across all of college football. So Penn State looked very impressive in their game against West Virginia. And then you look at that team that I just mentioned, the USC Trojans. That was the big statement, I think, in this conference in week number one. You know, LSU, not a lot of people were picking them to go into Vegas and win that football game. But does Lincoln Riley have a defense now? Like, that should strike a little bit of fear into maybe some teams in the Big Ten, because we all know about Lincoln Riley's offensive track record. But now you put a defense, and you look at that offensive line for LSU. On three, rated them the top offensive line in the country. They've got two first-round tackles. They've got four of their five starters coming back. And USC held their own on the defensive line, a defensive line which was the question mark of that unit. I love the game plan that Danton Lynn had, not allowing big plays over the top, soft coverage. That was a very impressive win. Miller Moss was calm, cool, and collected, made a lot of big throws. I think USC, you know, they got a game coming up a couple of weeks against Michigan, and I think that's going to really tell us if they can be maybe a team that can contend on the road to Indianapolis. But man, that first game was certainly impressive as well. So you mentioned 17-1. Some teams maybe didn't look as complete as others, but those big games at the top that I mentioned with Penn State, with USC, they both look very impressive in those big wins.
All right, let's move on to week two because we got plenty of action to talk about. Let's start here locally. We've been talking about Cy-Hawk Week here on 1600 ESPN, and I want to get your take on it. Obviously, it's a huge matchup here in the state of Iowa, but when you look at it, there's maybe some potential implications for an at-large playoff berth for both teams, considering the Big 12 is pretty wide open. We don't know who that maybe fourth team for the Big 10 that could get a berth is. I don't think either team is going to make the playoff when all is said and done, but it's up for debate, certainly. Iowa looked really good on offense in that second half against Illinois State, of course, but it was that progress, I think, that a lot of Iowa fans wanted to see. Iowa State, they won the game against North Dakota last week. Maybe didn't look as convincing as Cyclone fans had hoped, but a win is still a win, and you know they're going to get up for a game like this, the in-state rivalry game. How do you see this one playing out on Saturday in Kinnick Stadium, Ted?
Well, I think the key is, you know, you look at Iowa State and what they do, and Rocco Beck, really, since that Iowa game last year, Rocco Beck started, he got better. And I think that's really the strength of this Iowa State team is their ability to throw the football. You look at a wide receiver like Jalen Knoll, of course, over the top as well. you know, he of course had a good game against North Dakota, and he's a weapon that Iowa needs to know where he is on the football field. So if Iowa can contain this Iowa State pass game, you got to feel really good about their chances, because you look at Iowa's front seven and the ability, you know, to kind of to work with this run game that Iowa State has. You got to think the Hawkeyes have the advantage over there, so they just got to prevent Rocco Becht, I think, from getting into a rhythm in this game. And then I think this is a measuring stick for the Hawkeyes. Where are their offenses? You mentioned the opponent that was Illinois State, but here's the thing I'll say about that is that no matter who it is, being able to get Iowa just some confidence early in the season, says a lot. You know, Cade McNamara played a lot better in that second half. He was making good throws. And then remember, they didn't have their top wide receiver, Caleb Brown, for that game. Now, all of a sudden, I was saying this during my show on Tuesday earlier in the week, all of a sudden, you're looking around at this Iowa team. Okay, offensive line looking pretty decent. Okay, they got a quarterback that looks pretty good in Cade McNamara. We know all about the tight ends. Now you got receivers like a Jacob Gill, like a Reese Vanderzee, to pair with Caleb Brown. All of a sudden we're looking around and we're feeling pretty good. But Iowa State has a good defense, so this will be a little bit of a measuring stick to see exactly where Tim Lester's Iowa offense is. I feel pretty good that Iowa's going to come out with a victory at Kinnick Stadium. Of course, you know, having that at home atmosphere is going to be great. And of course, you know, being on CBS in the mid afternoon is going to be a great spotlight for this game as well. So I just think Iowa has more going for them, but we're certainly going to find out where they are on the offensive side of the ball. See if they can maybe put a point into this. They score 24, they score 27, something like that. I think you got to be feeling pretty good on where you're at offensively.
Great day of football starts off with the big Noon game of the week, Ted, on Saturday. Michigan, they pulled away late from Fresno State, got the win 30-10 last week. Texas blew out Colorado State as expected. Texas is headed to the Big House. This is a huge game early on. You talk about measuring sticks, you talk about litmus tests, all yep. that stuff. This is a huge one for both squads.
Absolutely. You know, the last three games, meaningful games, the Big Ten has played against the SEC, in its current alignment, the Big Ten is 3-0. So we'll see if the Big, there's been a lot of momentum for the Big Ten as of lately, but this is going to be a huge test. This is a big-time test for Michigan. Like, you look back at week number one, right? We talk about this quarterback battle, Alex Orjean, Davis Warren. It was revealed less than an hour before kickoff. It was going to be Davis Warren. He won the battle in that game. You watch these quarterbacks, because both of them played. Alex Orjean did play in this game. You watch these quarterbacks, and you can maybe see it was a battle. Not one of these guys really pulled away from the other. This is, when I look at these quarterbacks, it reminds me a lot of this Michigan team and how it's built. It reminds me a lot of like a 2016 type of team where Wilton Spate was the quarterback, where they can still win 10 games, but man, their run game needs to be good. Man, their defense needs to continue to set and raise that standard as well. Now, when you look at going up against Texas, okay, this is an explosive offense. Quinn Ewers is one of the best quarterbacks in the country. You look at Isaiah Bond at wide receiver and some of these other transfers that they've brought in. There's some speed. There's some talent on this team. Wink Martindale, it's been talked about all offseason long. He's an aggressive defensive coordinator. Will he bring pressure? I think he needs to, because this is a really good Texas offensive line. It's one of the best. We talked about those on three rankings before. They ranked Texas the number two offensive line in the country. So that's going to be just an outright battle between them and Michigan's great defensive line, of course, led up front by Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant. So their ability to get pressure, get Quinn Ewers off schedule, I think is going to determine which way this one goes, because Michigan's got to try to drag him down, because, you know, you look at their offense, they played 10 to 12 yards within the line of scrimmage, right? You didn't have where J.J. McCarthy last year. You get into a 3rd-and-7, he can roll out, throw it 20 yards, and you're moving the chains. I don't think Michigan has that this year. So they need to be a lot better on the offensive line. You mentioned that Fresno State game. They pushed back on what Michigan was able to do, which kind of surprised me a little bit, because there were a lot of returns coming out of fall camp that said, hey, Michigan's offensive line is better than a lot of people think, despite the losses. So Donovan Edwards, this is the game he usually shows up for. Big game, Don, right? Ohio State games over the years, that national championship last year. Can he show up and have a big performance? I think could sway this game one way or the other. So it's going to be a fun one. It's going to be very interesting. Michigan's going to have to keep this low score and keep this defensive maybe make it a little bit ugly, I think, to come out on top.
Let's fast forward to the 6 p.m. Central Time slot. We had an entertaining matchup between these two squads last year in Lawrence, Kansas. Now the return matchup in Champaign. Both Kansas and Illinois coming off comfortable wins in week one. This is a pretty solid matchup. How do you see the Jayhawks and the Illini playing out on Saturday night?
I thought Illinois played very confidently on offense in week number one against Eastern Illinois. Luke Altmaier specifically looked a lot more confident, looked better throwing the football than he did last season. And this is an Illinois offense. If you combine this passing game, what could be this run game and this offensive line, they can be a pretty good, they can be a really good offense, I think. But the key to facing off against Kansas is their offense, is what the Jayhawks have. When you look at Jalen Daniels, when you look at Devin Neal in the backfield, a 1,000-yard back, when you look at some of these receivers that they have on the outside, like, this is still a very explosive team. Probably one of the best offenses in the Big 12 this season. So Illinois needs to find a way to contain it. Okay, whether it's Aaron Henry bringing pressure, you got Gabe Akers who's going to be able to come off the edge and feel good about him. You know, can these linebackers step up and fill the gaps in the run game? It's going to be a challenge, right? And you talked about last year's matchup and how Kansas was just able to move up and down and up and down the field. Illinois needs to limit that. Now, this is the first sellout at Illinois Memorial Stadium since 2016. It's an orange out. They got to lean on that atmosphere. Like you said, it's a night game over there on FS1. So that's got to be, they got to really light it up there. But when I look at offense for them, I think this could be a breakout game for Caden Fagan in the backfield, right? Not a lot of people nationally really know that name, but I look at what Illinois has up front. Imagine the strength of the Kansas defense is in the secondary. So if they can attack this front seven, Caden Fagan, I think, could run for 150. He could run for 160 in this game. I think he could have a really good game if he can run the ball, keep the Kansas offense on the sideline. That could be the key for Illinois to win. If Illinois can win against a ranked Kansas team, I think you got to start talking about Illinois, you know, definitely in the top half of the conference and maybe one of those sleeper teams, right? With a big win against the Jayhawks, maybe one of those sleeper teams that could rise later in the season in the Big Ten.
All right, Ted, kicking off just a half hour later in Lincoln is a rematch of another game from last year that was heavily in favor of Colorado. Nebraska looking for some revenge. Colorado looking to continue some momentum after that win over North Dakota State. This is a huge game between the Buffs and the Huskers, renewing that rivalry. I'm looking forward to this one. I'm sure you are too.
Yeah, when I look at the games of the week, you know, there is a lot of attention on Big Noon, Michigan and Texas, but you know, when we come back on Monday and we look at these Nielsen ratings, I got a feeling that Nebraska's Colorado is going to have the most eyeballs on this one. And I'm so intrigued about this matchup. You know, when I look at Colorado, right, and you get past, because this is a very divisive football team, right, nationally, when you get past those feelings and you look at football, you look at 11-on-11, and I'm going to talk about 85 versus 85, right, full rosters, look at Colorado. Okay, they remind me a lot of when LeBron James in the summer of 2010 signed with the Miami Heat. They had star power right at the top. They had LeBron. They had Wade. They had Bosh. What happened when you got beyond those three guys? Now, I get there was a salary cap in the NBA, but what happened? You had Joel Anthony. You had Mario Chalmers. You know, you didn't have a lot. I look at Colorado the same way. They've got star power upon star power at the top. Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. You know, even Jimmy Horn can do something on the other side of wide receiver. What do they got beyond that? There's not a lot of depth. The defense is still not great. The offensive line, okay, you saw how they performed against North Dakota State and what they were able to do. So Colorado's ability to contend and win this game is going to depend on Shedeur Sanders, just like every other game this season, is going to depend on Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter going nuts. And like Travis Hunter's great game last week, you know, if he's even contained a little bit, North Dakota State walks out of there probably with a victory. You know, and I look at Nebraska in this game, just run the ball, man. You have such a big advantage on the trenches. Such a big advantage on both offense and defense. They can rotate four guys through that running back rotation. And then here's the thing. When you run and run and run and Colorado's getting gas and they can't stop it, hit Jalen Lloyd over the top, right? The speedster on the outside. Hit Jamal Banks. Hit Isaiah Neyor. We know Dylan Raiola can throw an absolutely beautiful deep ball down the field. I mean, Colorado's defense, I was watching a program from CBS Sports earlier in the week, and I'll give credit to them for this stat. They've allowed 400-plus yards in 10 out of their last 13 games. And this is a Nebraska offense that, do they have a top offensive line in the Big Ten? Maybe not. Do they have a top running back? Probably not. Do they have a top wide receiver? Maybe not. But they're just really good to good, and they're very deep. And I look at Colorado, and that's just not the case. And that's why Nebraska is more than a touchdown favorite at home against the Buffs. So they're favored to win. This is a game that if Nebraska is going to win, the hype train is going to be all aboard in Lincoln, Nebraska, because they have a very favorable schedule before they play Ohio State a little bit later in the year. So I expect Nebraska to impose their will at the line of scrimmage, make plays, but if they can't contain those explosive plays from Colorado over the top, that's where maybe the Buffs could hang on and make this one really close in the fourth quarter.
Two others I'll ask you for a real quick comment on. They weren't on our main list of games, but you got a conference matchup with Maryland and Michigan State, and then Oregon and Boise State. Oregon, one of those teams, they played that 10-point game against Idaho last week. Boise State, Ashton Janti had, what, 6 touchdowns last week in their win? Yep. Those two games kind of intriguing, maybe in the second tier of games. Give me one quick thought on either one, Ted.
Yeah, so for Maryland, Billy Edwards looked really good. There was a quarterback situation kind of coming in. If he can still play confident and he can play well, you got to feel pretty good about that one. Maryland forced 3 turnovers last week. Michigan State, well, they committed a lot of turnovers themselves. So if Michigan State is able to protect the football, I think this one could be fairly close. If Michigan State comes up on the short end of the stick, they've got Boston College coming up, a tough 4-game stretch. Man, this one is really big to be able to have that positive vibes and positive feelings once again inside the building. You talk about Oregon against Boise State, you know, the offensive line got to play better, got to be able to finish drives, I think, for the Ducks in that one. I still think if they come out like they did against Idaho, you know, I still think for the most part that their talent can get them a victory, but this is going to be a little bit of a stiffer test. And, you know, they say they want to put it back-to-back and claim themselves as Idaho State champs. So, they've never beaten Boise State, 0-3 versus the Broncos all time. So if Oregon shores up their offensive line and they finish drives, they focus on those two things, I think they're going to win this one running away. But this is a very key spot. They have a rivalry game coming up against Oregon State, so I want to see them play well, put up a lot of points on the board, obviously contain that running game that you talked about.
All right, Ted, what should folks look for from you on YouTube this week?
Yeah, so it's going to be a fun a show coming up here tonight, and then you kind of look a little bit later on. Going to have previews of Nebraska and Illinois games, more in-depth previews than I talked about here. That's coming up tonight on Big Nation. And then coming up this weekend, going to have coverage of all those 4 games. You know, Nebraska, Colorado, Michigan, Texas, Illinois and Kansas, Iowa and Iowa State. So it's going to be a busy, busy Saturday. Look for reactions, and then we'll have a full reaction on Monday on that Big Nation as well. So it's going to be a big weekend. You know, we could really start to find out a lot about some of these Big Ten teams.
Cool, Ted. Thanks as always. We'll talk to you next Thursday, okay?
All right. Thank you.